Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All I'm saying is I would like to go week to week. That's all I'm saying. There's no reason for us to get ahead of ourselves. We're terrible at it. We're awful at it. You were playing the schedule game with me again about an hour and a half ago.
Schedule Sam
came into the building. He's like, you know, they play Tennessee in December. And I think that, well, I don't know who's playing. Let's do this week. I don't even know who's playing quarterback this week. I assume it's Big Mac. Big Mac, I assume.
Possibly.
But if he plays, if he wins, great. Let's assess next week. Then who's healthy? Is Brock healthy? Is Mac healthy? What's the right thing to do? Sunday night football coming to town. I'm not grabbing out a Sharpie. If Mac wins, he plays again the next week. Why? How does that help? That's what I don't understand. And what did Brock do to you all? That's another question I've got.
It has very little to do with Brock.
For you.
Well, I think
for a lot of people,
right.
It
has to do with 3-0. And if you look at every other backup in the league so far this year, they have a total of 4 wins, and Mac has 3.
Yeah.
So Mac versus the world, he's only down 4-3, and there have been a lot of these backups who've gone out there and actually started games.
Actually, that's an interesting thing you bring up. Is any quarterback other than Mac Jones in the NFL unbeaten? Is anybody? Because no one's unbeaten. But I'm trying to think of it like Josh Allen's got a loss.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts has a loss. Baker Mayfield's got a loss. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson have a bunch of losses. Who else is 4-1? Daniel Jones has a loss.
Yep.
Let's see. Jared Goff's got a loss.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor Lawrence has a loss.
Joe Burrow.
Jordan
undefeated.
Loves. Oh, Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Are any other non-IR quarterbacks undefeated? Mac
nope.
Jones the only one?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
All right.
And,
no, this is all worth something. Don't get me wrong. This is worth something.
Right. And if he gets to 4-0, and for me, it comes down to one man's toe. And when Brock's toe is good to go, he plays. It just becomes a little bit more pressurized for the Niners, for Kyle, for Brock, if it is in 2 weeks and they beat Tampa and they beat Atlanta on prime time. And then you know what? Brock is ready. The toe is good to go. Mac is 5-0, and you are 6-1. Then it becomes much more scrutinized and pressurized in that moment.
Here's where I will completely agree with you. You've got to pick the right spot. And what I mean by that is, yes, he needs to be 100% healthy. The last thing you want to do is bring him in and then have him perform at less than ideal circumstances. And I'm not saying I would be like mindful of the opponent, but do think about when you're bringing him in. Like the scenario you just played out, Mac Jones, let's say he wins at Tampa, then you get Sunday night freaking football. So you're on the highest rated television in the whole country, and you're playing a team that I don't think very much of.
No. Nope.
They're not awful, but
they're all right.
The Atlanta
you're
Falcons.
You're
going
to be favored by probably 6 or 6.5.
You're
going to
be
one.
A favor, right?
Yep.
So you come in and let's say, boom, you're like that's a good setup for a good performance. So you're at home. The weather should be great. Sunday night football, not a great defense. Okay, you cut through them for 300 yards and a couple of scores, and you win. And then Brock's healthy, and you're going to send him on the road to face what I think is maybe the most underrated defense in the entire NFL, which is Houston.
Yep.
Or even if it's Mac, like that's a much harder assignment. So I don't think you worry too much about opponent. You mainly focus on health. And I will agree, I'll meet everybody halfway on this, that, yeah, I'm going to stick with Mac until you feel as good as you can possibly feel that Brock is fully healthy and will not re-injure his toe. That I agree with. That I fully agree with. But the concept of Brock being 100% and we're sticking with Mac just because he's rolling, that to me, that's reckless. That's a reckless thing to sign up for.
I don't know if it's reckless if it, let's just say that Brock is not 100%, as you say, for 4 more weeks, and Mac has won all 4 of those games.
Okay.
So now he's 7-0, and you are 8-1 as a team. And I know that this is a little bit of a wild hypothetical, but
Well, not really.
I mean, it's in play. It's,
I mean, you look at who they play. They're yeah.
Right. Your dogs on Sunday, you're getting 3 at Tampa, and then I'm just looking at the look, the Nahigi and Luka headlines.
Yeah.
6.5-point favorites against Atlanta.
What about Houston?
1.5 at Houston.
What about the New York Giants?
3.5 at New York.
Okay.
And then you're favored by 1.5 against the Rams.
Against the Rams.
Which and that's is, the I mean, look ahead, and that's a home game,
yeah,
whatever.
That's, I mean, we're almost to Thanksgiving by now.
Well, just looking ahead through the rest of the year, this Sunday is the last time that you are an underdog in a game. On the look ahead lines.
On the look ahead.
You're favored in all the rest. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
They're favored at Indy?
Really? Yep, yeah, by 3.
Really?
In the look-ahead lines
that
I'm looking at.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I find that to be surprising, don't you?
A little bit.
Indy's good. Like, I'm a believer.
Oh, yeah.
Indy's good.
For sure. They've passed, the best running back in football.
They've passed all the tests, and they're blowing people out. And I know they lost to the Rams, and, you know, okay, we got another guy throwing the ball out the back of the end zone before he crosses the goal line. They probably win that game. Instead, that whatever, they lost the game. But
yeah, like, I think these lines are all set before week one. I don't know if they are updated on the regular, but because I'm looking at Indy, and they are underdog in a lot of games, including next week where they're or maybe it's this week. Actually, no, it's next week. They're underdog against the Chargers by 6. And so,
6?
Yeah.
Nah, that doesn't make any sense.
These probably haven't been updated, but the greater point for me is if the Niners do continue to play well and win and Brock's not ready for 3 or 4 more weeks, then the more that this goes on, the bigger the question is about whether or not you should make the move.
No question. All I'm saying, I'm not even saying that like, you know, you may get to a scenario where the hypotheticals get a little wild. Like, yeah, if Mac goes 8-0
sure.
in the next, yeah, okay, but then we'll have that conversation then. That feels a little far-fetched to me, but okay, sure. Then you have that conversation. My point is to wake up today and welcome this to your locker room like it's a good thing. I'm comfortable with the word reckless. And I know that most people will see it differently because you're like, it's just about you win. You win and that's it. Well, actually, I think there's more to it than that. Yes, that's the only thing that matters when you're playing the game is you go win. But you, like I'm telling you, you do not welcome openly a quarterback controversy to your locker room. You especially don't do it literally months after you sign somebody to a 5-year, $265 million deal. That is not something that you openly want to kind of campaign for, which to me, thinking about beyond Tampa Bay is doing. You're campaigning for that if you're going to say things like, he wins this game, you definitely stick with him. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have any idea what it looked like. You don't have any idea what his health is. You don't have any idea. What if they win the game 3-2? What if? I mean, like, there's so many things in play there. And so, yeah, I find it to be a little bit loose with your stuff to just be like, this is fun. Ride Mac, hot hand, woo! Like, oh, yeah. That's
only a problem if Brock is somebody who has a fragile ego.
I disagree.
Or if the locker room really doesn't believe in Mac Jones. That's the only way this becomes a problem.
No, it becomes a problem if what you're welcoming is the locker room not believing in Brock Purdy. That's what I'm talking about. His ego is fine. Mac Jones and Brock Purdy are the two perfect people for this. Do you sense a damn, I don't think there's a hair on either of their body that is stood up about this. They're fine. They're grounded. They get it. They're trying to win football games. I'm not worried about either of their egos. I simply think you don't handle the, as it's sometimes called, the quarterback is the CEO of your franchise. You don't handle your CEO this way. You just don't do that because it provides and welcomes confusion and just locker room issues. It just welcomes it to the party if you're going to, essentially, what you guys are suggesting is that you'd bench him. That's what you're saying. If a 100% Brock Purdy doesn't play, you're benching him.
You're not benching him.
At least temporarily, yes, you are.
The word benching is, I think, inappropriate because what you're doing is you're playing the guy who's winning. It's not about Brock Purdy. So if Brock comes back and Mac is playing like he's played and Mark Grandy gave him an A+, and you gave him an A, and I gave him an A for the game against the Rams, 100%. And they didn't have anybody else around, and he won that game. And so you can actually risk the other part of it where, okay, so Brock is now ready, and Mac has never lost as your quarterback, and now you're going to go to Brock? And if Brock goes out there and you lose the game, now you're at risk of losing the locker room in the same sort of way.
Well, no, I don't see that as losing the locker room. That's a risk that you, to me, is it a risk? It's a risk that you have to take.
It's risky either way.
You have to, that's something that, to me, you have to stick your chest out and own where you are as an organization. Brock Purdy is your starting quarterback. Nobody has that twisted. Nobody has that twisted except for social media. So what I'm saying is I'm disagreeing with you on the idea of whether or not sitting a fully 100% Brock Purdy would qualify as a benching. I don't know how you could see it any other way. Of course it is. If a 100% healthy starter doesn't get the nod, then he got benched.
I don't even know if I would use that word. Like, benching to me has a negative overtone about, you know, why you're making a move. And, you know, there was a Keon Coleman for the Bills. He got benched for the first series in their game because of something that happened with the team. That was a benching. And Brandon Ayuk, he got benched because he wasn't blocking or he wasn't doing what the coach wanted. This would not be a benching. This would be a team playing the quarterback that they feel like is playing really well, and you're winning every game.
That's a benching.
Well, like, whatever. I don't want to get stuck on the term.
But you're taking it as always like a disciplinary thing. If you go with someone else because you think they're better, then the other person got benched. Like, if you
Michael Penix Jr. got benched because he was terrible, so they went to Cousins, and he got benched.
But the game was over. He got pulled.
Sure.
He got pulled because the game was over.
Whatever you want to put on
to
it.
To me, benched would be if I started Kirk Cousins the following week. If Michael Penix is healthy and I start Kirk Cousins.
Russell Wilson got benched.
Absolutely. Absolutely he got benched.
Yeah, that's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yes,
because
we went with someone else because we think they're better.
Right. And so I
don't
think
it's a little different because you knew it was coming
totally
before the
different
year even started.
And I do think that in this case where if it's one more game or two more games, however many more games it is, if Mac continues to win, I don't know how you go in that locker room and say, hey, guys, I know that we're 7-0 with Mac Jones, 6-0, whatever it is, but we're going back to Brock.
Starting quarterback's healthy.
Sure. And then you go out and you lose. And what does that do?
Well, then now you have a conversation.
It's a controversy now, is what it is.
Probably.
Yep.
Probably, although I bet even still they wouldn't see it that way because you don't look at and forget the contract. Everyone, I'm really not, quite frankly, trying to make it about the contract. I make it more in an emotional way. That's your starter. That's your guy. That's your guy, and there's no question about that.
I do think the contract is a big piece of it.
It is for a lot of people, but I don't think the Niners, like, in other words, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, and I'm, like, in charge of this locker room, I'm in charge of this team, I'm not thinking about it in terms of, like, $265 million. Like, we have to do this. I think that you're in charge of managing your people, and you manage your people a certain way. And when you have somebody who is, that's your guy, like that is your guy, and there are no questions about that, then you handle that a certain way. And especially when that guy hasn't really done anything wrong. Like, okay, we can get into last year, you can get into the game against Jacksonville.
It's fine.
That's all on the table, but we're not like all the way down the road of people. Like, in other words, if Mac wasn't here, would people be like, got to move on from this Brock Purdy guy? Like, we have a very small set of games here where people would be suggesting there's a problem at the quarterback position. He's the unquestioned guy. Therefore, when that guy's ready to go, you don't have any questions because it's unquestioned.
Well, you already don't have any questions about what the other guy is doing. And the other guy, all he's done is come in and play tough. You got to go out there and be tough. And he's won every game he started. So for me, it becomes more complicated than, okay, if Brock is healthy and we don't go back to Brock, then what does it mean for Brock and the future and all the rest of it? Brock's going to be here. And if right now you go with a guy who's hot, if Mac is winning games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Games, and he's playing well enough to win these games. I don't see any harm in not like going with Mac for a little bit longer.
I know you don't see any harm in it, and I'd argue none of us see any harm in it because we're out here. We're not living in their reality. Their reality is they have a company, a business, a dynamic. They have human beings, and you don't, in my opinion, handle your people this way. Like, you and I had, this is a debate going way back, almost to the beginning. Which, oh, by the way, yes, today is the four-year anniversary of the start of this show.
Oh, look at us.
Four-year anniversary today.
All right.
Yeah. So, thank you, Grandy.
Yeah.
Go all the way back to the beginning, and one of our very first debates was the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo, after being, remember when he was on the kiddie field for a whole camp?
Yep.
Okay? Then they signed him all of a sudden. Remember, it was, we're trading him, and then they signed him. And you and I got into a debate because you were like, hey, more quarterbacks the merrier. And my take was, ooh, this is a hedge. They don't like what they see from Trey. And I will forever feel that way. And the reason I feel that way is because when you've got your guy who's the unquestioned dude, which is what Trey Lance was supposed to be, you don't do that to him. You don't do that to him. You don't welcome sticking someone over his right shoulder so that the whole world can question him. You just don't do that to your people, which is why they wanted to trade Jimmy Garoppolo in the first place. Why else would they have wanted to trade him? But they kept him because I don't think they liked what they saw from Trey Lance in practice and in camp. So this was a hedge to me. And this is not the same situation, but it's the same dynamic I'm talking about. You don't welcome questions about your guy, especially when he's done nothing to deserve it. Trey Lance had not at that time, and Brock Purdy has not at this time. That's all. I just don't think you do your people like that.
Well, I think that if you are a good leader, and I believe that Kyle Shanahan is, and you're a good organization, and I do think that they have that, and you've got a good locker room intact, then these things become less of an issue when you realize that Brock Purdy's got five more years under contract, and he's going to have a good long run as your starting quarterback, and there's no controversy going forward. Right now, in this moment, you're in a spot where the guy you have is winning games.
Yep.
And winning games is the one thing that everybody in that room wants more than anything else, maybe outside of money. And so the guy you have is doing that. And so I think it's more risky to go out there and make the switch. If Mac is still undefeated and Brock is ready to go, now you go back to Brock and you lose. That to me becomes more risky than just going with Mac until he loses.
Yeah, but that's kind of what y'all signed up for. You know what I mean? Like you have to be, to me, if you're a big time organization and you're a big time coach and the Niners are both of those things, then you have to be willing to face that. You have to be willing to face what the people are saying out there. Because I know we're sitting in an echo chamber right now, but my goodness, if I read you our text line right now, the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, those 5 years that you're talking about that Brock's got, whew, they're going to suck. They're going to suck. Because our text line's done with him already.
Already, huh?
Done.
Yeah.
Done. Dunn, D-U-N.
That's the text
Dunn.
Line.
He's been overpaid.
And that's how they do it.
He's been bad for 17 games. And this is the 15th pick over the last pick. This is a no-brainer. Piece of cake. All right. Boy, these 5 years are going to be long. Long.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.